Today I'd like to focus primarily on the book of Revelation, or the little passage we've had from the book of Revelation. A key to understanding what is being written there is to go way back to the book of Genesis. You know, the book of Genesis begins the Bible. The book of Revelation ends the Bible. And so, in some sense, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is bringing to completion some of the things that began at the time of the story of Adam and Eve. And we see in the book of Revelation how God is bringing the goal of God's interaction with the human family. You'll remember that Adam and Eve, in the beginning, lived in harmony in what we call paradise. They lived in harmony and peace. They lived in the presence of God. But all of that was destroyed and turned around when they sinned. Because after that, chaos begins to break out. Now, God tries very things to intervene, to reach out. You know, we have people like Noah. We have Abraham. We have Israel, also Jacob, known as Jacob. We have Moses. We have King David. And yet, in all of those people, they never could bring about the faithfulness that God was seeking. And so finally, God takes on our humanity. He becomes one of us. And of course, we know that he bore all the bitter consequences of sin. He died on the cross, but that he rose again. And when he rose again, he rose not just that he might rise, but he rose to gather all of us to himself so that we could rise with him. And that is really the goal that Jesus has for the church. The church is to be that group of people who Jesus is gathering to himself so that at the end of time he can present us to his Father as his eternal gift to the Father. So our task is to be gathered to Christ Jesus. Now, it's important to think about the church not as an institution, not as a building, not even as an organization. The church is us. It is the people. It is the people that Jesus Christ has drawn to himself through the waters of baptism and wants to make one with himself. We are the church. We are the people that Jesus is gathering to himself. Now, how does he do that? Well, he does it through baptism, but then he renews and strengthens that gathering to himself through the Eucharist. When he gives us his very self, gives us his body and blood, so that we can become more one with him. He does it through the sacrament of reconciliation or penance or confession. When we have turned away from him through sin, then we can be brought back. That alienation can be overcome. Those are ways that Jesus continues to work in the church, bringing us closer to himself. If we go to the book of Revelation, John has a vision. And that vision is at the end of time. It's in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and chapter 22. And in that vision, a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, descends from heaven upon the earth. Now, it's important to realize that it's not a city with buildings. It is a city of people. At the time that John is writing, Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. And so what John is envisioning is that, in a sense, it's a new paradise. Once again, people are living in harmony and peace. And God dwells among them. He dwells so much among his people that the Eucharist will no longer be needed. Because we won't need that symbolic expression of oneness with God. We will be one with him face to face. Now, that is what Jesus wants to accomplish, is to prepare us to be his bride. And that's the image John uses. The bridegroom is descending from heaven. We who are on earth are to be the bride, and we are being prepared for that great day of his coming. And that's what you and I must do, is prepare ourselves for the day that the Lord Jesus comes in glory, and we can be gathered to himself for all eternity. What was first began through Adam and Eve, that rejection, that turning away from God, that lack of trust in God, is now being turned around in this heavenly Jerusalem. So, what God intended from the beginning, which was destroyed by sin, is now restored at the end of time. And we live again in that heavenly paradise, in that time when there's no longer hatred and division. We live in unity. Now, how does that come about? Well, let's go to the gospel reading. Because if you go to the gospel reading, what does Jesus tell us? He says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another." And then he adds a line to that. He says, "All will know you as my disciples by your love for one another." Now, that is telling us that if we fail to love, we will not be visible in the world as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it can truly be said, the reason Christianity hasn't spread through the whole world is precisely because of our failure to love. Because people will not recognize us as disciples of Christ Jesus if they do not see in us a love that is more real and more powerful than people who do not know Christ. In other words, we are called to an extraordinary love for one another. You know, Jesus says, "As I have loved you, you must love one another." Well, he loved us to the point of dying. We are called a self-sacrificing love. We are called to give of ourselves in love to the world, to the people around us. And only if we do that will Christ become known in the world. Now, how do we do that? Well, we have to be willing to let go of our angers, our prejudices, our lack of forgiveness. We have to be willing to die to ourselves. And yet even all of that, we can't do on our own. The only way we do that is if we are empowered by the Spirit of Christ. If the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in us and we open our hearts to that Spirit, then we can begin to love in the way that Jesus loved. Not that we'll ever do that perfectly, but we will begin to move in that direction. We'll be loving more and more in the way that Christ Jesus has loved us. And of course, it's absolutely necessary that that happen. Because how do we enter into that heavenly Jerusalem if we are not people who love? You know, if I hang on to my hatreds, my lack of forgiveness, my criticizing of other people, by putting down other people, if I hang on to all those things, I can't live in a city of harmony and peace. Our willingness to love one another is the criteria for entering into that heavenly Jerusalem, that eternal city. That's the call you and I have received. Now, it is the Eucharist that will give us the power. Because in the Eucharist, we receive the very body and blood of Christ. He gives us his very life so that we can love with his love. And in confession, when we have become alienated through sin, we're restored to that unity with Christ. But those are necessary things for us if we are going to really fulfill our mission of loving as Christ is love, being that bride made ready for the day that Jesus comes and gathers us to his Father. That is the challenge before us. Open our hearts to the love of Christ, to let his love transform us and make us into his image.